All right, Kevo, say good morning. Today's daf is Mem Zayin. We are picking up on Mem Vav Amud Beis, and we're picking up in Meretz Hashem Amar Abaye, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17 lines up from the bottom. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Rabbi Aaron and Janice Schwartzbaum in honor of the art site of Aaron's mother, Chana Miriam Bas Aaron Yosef. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family in a chama. We also thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Kislev, Josh and Becca Friedman, the Gilei Nishmas, Josh Esfadi, Yisrael Yehuda Ben Rav Chaim Rafael, and Simeon Malka Esterson for their parents, Yitzchok Leib Ben Aaron HaKohen, and Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch, as well as Hinda Bas Henef Ephraim. We hope that the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an aliyah and the families in the Chama. But with that, let us begin. A very interesting beginning in the Gemara today. Amar Abaye. Abaye says as follows. Tashma, Katan Shalohevi Beis Saras. If a Katan did not yet exhibit signs of physical maturation, so Rabbi Huda Omer, Ein Truma Su Truma. Rabbi Huda says his Truma designation is not valid. So if he separates Truma on behalf of someone, or if he has produce of his own, then halacha l'maisa, that separation is invalid. Rabbi Yossi says, Ad shelo ba la'onas nedarim, ein truma sa truma. Misha ba la'onas nedarim, truma sa truma. Rabbi Yossi says, no, once he reaches the age of onas nedarim. So we'll say, what's onas nedarim? That's what we saw yesterday, mufla samuch li'ish, right, for a boy the age between 12 and 13. So we'll say, see here, very interesting machlokes. Abaye is saying that if a boy goes in and separates out truma before he becomes a bar mitzvah, such a designation is meaningless because he's a katan. Rabbi Yosef saying that Allah Lamaisa, once he's reached onas nidarim, mufla samoch leish, he can go ahead and separate out truma. Savrua, kasav Rabbi Yosef. So we'll say, must be that Rabbi Yosef holds that what? Truma bizman hazeh doraisa. So we'll say, must be that Rabbi Yosef holds that truma bizman hazeh, present day truma, right in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, is going to be Daraisa. So the Gemara says, now, you don't have a proof for that from this statement. The Gemara is going to see, based on that, something else we learn. So the Gemara says, I amit bishlama mufla samoch li'ish Daraisa. So we'll say, going back to yesterday's daf, say, if you hold that a mufla samoch li'ish has a Daraisa status, asi gavra Daraisa matakin tivla Daraisa, then I understand why someone who has a Daraisa status has the ability to go ahead and what? Be metaking tevel, has the ability to go ahead and rectify the tevel status of produce, which is also daraisa. Ela, I amrit rabbanan, but we'll say if you hold that ultimately, again, mufla samach leish only has rabbinic credibility, then asi gavra drabbanan umetaking tivla daraisa, then could someone with only rabbinic credibility go ahead and be metaking tevel midoraisa? And we'll say, would it make sense? Tevel's a daraisa. To which the Gemara says, lo. In reality, Rabbi Yossi holds that Shuma Bezman Azer, Rabbi Yossi, present day Shuma, is only Midrabanon. Rabbi Yossi says, fine. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi, according to that, even if Rabbi Yossi holds that a Mufla Samoch Leish only has Dirabanon credibility, I'm sorry, I think I said Daraisa, Dirabanon. Right? Therefore, Rabbi Yossi holds Shuma Bezman Azer as Dirabanon. Therefore, even if Rabbi Yossi holds that Mufla Samoch Leish only has Dirabanon credibility, a mufla samoch leish dirabanan credibility could take care of truma, which is only midirabanan. Is that true? V'sav Rabbi Yossi, truma bizman hazeh dirabanan. Does Rabbi Yossi really hold that truma bizman hazeh is dirabanan? Is that true? V'atanya b'seder olam, yet it was taught in seder olam, asher yarshu avosecha v'yirishta. So I'll say, so the pasuk says, when speaking about their cheshbaruch, who's going to bring us to Eretz Yisrael, v'aviyach ha'ashram alakecha la'aretz asher yarshu avosecha v'yirishta. So the Gemara says, Yerusha Rishona Ushnia Yesh Lahen, Shlishis Ein Lahen. So we'll say, so what does this mean? First of all, look at Rashi for just a moment. Yerusha Rishona is Yoshua, right? The first inheritance of the land, that's Yoshua ben Nun. Shnia, Rashi says, is Ezra, Yesh Lahen. Now what does that mean? Look at Rashi, Yesh Lahen, Kilomar, Begalos Nebuchadnezzar, Batla Kiddush HaSaretz, then it's tarchul yersha ulakatsha bishnia. So let's remember again, when Yeshua comes into the land, he sanctifies the land. Beis HaMikdash is destroyed and we're taken out. Ultimately, again, the land loses its sanctification and needs to be sanctified a second time when Ezra comes back. Aval Shlishis, Rashi says, La'asilova, the third Beis HaMikdash, Ein Lahem Kilomar, Ein Yerusha, Delo Yitztarchu L'Rishto, V'Katsha, Delo Batla Kiddushasa, Nigzir Sakafsa. So we'll say here, the Brisons say, the Olam is saying as follows, that although we say, Kiddusha Rishona, Kiddusha L'Shaita, V'Lo Kiddusha La'asilova, which means the Kiddusha of Yehoshua only existed when the Jews were in Eretz Yisrael. But the moment that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the Jews were exiled, that Kiddusha was lost. That Kiddusha was lost. So we'll say, however, when the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so halacha lamaisa, so that Kiddusha remains intact. Right? That Kiddusha doesn't go there. So even when the third Beis HaMikdash returns, right? No formal re-sanctification is necessary because the second sanctification still remains in place. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, man tana seder olam. We'll say, who is the author of the Brais and Seder Olam? Rabbi Yossi. Right? It's Rabbi Yossi. So we'll say, now what does that mean practically? If you hold Kiddusha Shnia, Kiddusha L'Shaita Ula Asid Lavo. So I'll say, if you have the sanctification of the second Beis HaMikdash was sanctified for its time and for what? And for future generations as well. What does it mean? I'll say, the Kiddusha of the land remains. If the Kiddusha of the land remains, then what does that tell you? That Allah Almighty said that Shuma is Daraisa. So how can you tell me that Rabbi Yossi holds that Shuma is not Daraisa? Rabbi Yossi clearly holds that it would be Daraisa. To which the Gemara says, very interesting. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Tanalei Velo Savarla. Rabbi Yossi taught it, but he didn't hold this way. Interesting. Right? So in other words, he taught the halacha, but he did not actually go ahead and he did not actually hold this to be his position. Hachanai Mustaba, so we'll say actually we have a proof to this. Why is it actually quite interesting? The Sanya, Isa She Nid Ma'a, Oshnis Chamtsa Besar Shot Shuma. So let's listen to an interesting case. You have a dough, and what happened? Shabbos says, see, you have sa'ar, some yeast of truma that falls in. Nidma means it gets mixed in. Nischamtza means it causes it to leaven. Look at Rashi. Isas chulin, that's Rashi on the daf. Isas chulin shnidma. Kigon shenafel sa'ar shal truma, the sa'ar pakos mimea shal chulin. Shabbos says, I have a sub truma that falls into less than 100 parts. Remember again, truma is normally batel in a ratio of 100 to 1. So in this case over here, I have a little bit of truma that falls into a dough of chulin. What's the halacha? Top of mem zayin amud aleph. Chayeves bechala ve'ena nefselas b'tvul yom. So we'll say, so listen to this. So ultimately, again, the dough is still subject to the obligation of chala. Now, boss, so just to understand the way this works. Under normal circumstances, truma is pater from chutura from chala. Right? Why? Truma is given to the Kohen, Chal is given to the Kohen. Obviously, the Kohen doesn't have to tithe his own produce for himself. So if something is called Truma, you don't have to take Chala. So something very interesting is happening over here, which is I have a dough into which some amount of Truma has fallen in. Not enough to be batel. In other words, it's not a 100-to-1 ratio. So therefore what? The Mishnah says, the Braisa nevertheless says that what? It's Chayeves Bechala, so it's Chayeves Bechala, but yet, Eino Nefselas B'Tvul Yom. If a tvul yom were to touch it, it would not become possible. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. It says Rashi chayeves bechala velo amrinon de truma poteresla. The avagav de truma ina chayeves bechala meduma chayev bechala my time the dimua drabanu the midaraisa chad betray bottle the chsiv achiram mehatos drabanu de atzich echadumea hilchachlo asi dimua drabanu mafke chala filo bezmanazeh. Let's a very simple logic. Midaraisa, truma is batel in chulin in a regular 2-to-1 ratio. Because midaraisa, batel barov, governs every situation. It's Chazal who came along and imposed a different stringency and said that truma is not batel in chulin until you have a 100-to-1 ratio. Therefore, if it's less than 101 ratio, ultimately, again, it's nidma, right? It's nidma. So therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, that is only going to be an issue dirabanan. So apparently, again, the authors here are holding that halacha lemaisa, chala bizman hazeh is going to be daraisa, and therefore, again, the obligation will not be batal. Div Rabbi Meir Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yosef Bishimin p'tautur min achal. Rabbi Yosef Bishimin hold that ultimately what? That the dough itself is exempt from chala. Now we assume what's at the core of this machlokas. Man da amar truma daraisa, chala daraisa. So again, if you hold that truma is daraisa, then ultimately again you will hold that chala is daraisa. Man da amar truma drabanan, chala drabanan. And the opinion who holds that ultimately, again, Shumas Dirabanan will also hold that Chalos Dirabanan. And I will say that's kind of how this Machlokas falls out. To which the Gemara says, "I Amid Bishlama Kasav Rabbi Yosi Chala Bisman Hazat Dirabanan." So I'll say, if you hold that Rabbi Yosi holds that Chala Bisman Hazat Dirabanan, now I understand. Sa'asa Dimua Dirabanan Umafke Chala Dirabanan. So we'll see, if you hold that Rabbi Yossi holds, then Chalab is Manazez Drabana, then I understand this case. Remember, what's happened? I have a Dov Chulin. Some Truma fell into the Chulin. Not, so the ratio is that there are less than 100 parts Chulin to Truma, which makes this what? Which makes this what's called Dimua. I will say Dimua is a rabbinic state where we say that Truma is mixed into this. So now what are we saying over here? That this dough is not subject to the obligation of Chala. So if you say that ultimately again Dimua is Dirabanan, well Dimua is Dirabanan, right? And ultimately again Chala is Dirabanan, then the newfound status of this mixture which is Dirabanan has the ability to uproot or upend the rabbinic obligation of Chala. That makes sense. Which we'll say, just to say it's simpler, that if you hold that ultimately, again, this mixture essentially is considered to be Truma Nidirabanan, if it's Truma Nidirabanan, then what? It has the ability to uproot the obligation of Chala, but only if Chala is Nidirabanan as well. But if you hold that Chala Bisman Hazeh is Doraisa, then what? Asi Dimua Dirabanan. Then I will say ultimately again, would Dimua, which is a rabbinic status, have the ability to go ahead and uproot the obligation of Chala, which is a biblical status? Of course not. Therefore, the Gemara is using this as a proof to say that what? That Halacha Lamaisa, Rabbi Yossi, even though again he was the author of the Brice and Seder Olam, that said that ultimately again, Chala Truma Bisman Hazeh is Doraisa, he himself holds that Chala Bisman Hazeh is Dirabanan. The Dilma Kasav Rabbi Yossi, so again, just to be clear, that's why Halacha Lamaisa, if Rabbi Yossi will hold, that if you have this situation where Truma gets mixed into Chulin, and there is less than 100-to-1 ratio of Chulin to Truma, the mixture essentially becomes Truma Dirabanan. It's another way of saying Dimua. Truma Dirabanan. And because it becomes Truma Dirabanan, therefore again, if you hold that Chalas Dirabanan, then the Truma Dirabanan sets aside the obligation of Chalam Dirabanan. V'dilma kasar Rabbi Yossi, Truma Bisman Hazeh Doraisa v'Chala Dirabanan. So that's an interesting suggestion. Up until now, we're kind of assuming that Truma and Chala are kind of treated the same way. But maybe Rabbi Yossi is a little different. Maybe Rabbi Yossi hopes that Truma Bisman Hazeh is going to be Doraisa, but Chala will be Dirabanan. Rabbi said, now why would you think to make that distinction? Ukida hada Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yoshua. Rabbi said, this would be like the response of Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yoshua. Tum Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yoshua. Ashkech esinhu l'Rabbanon de Beirav. So Rabbi said, we found the Rabbanon, right? We found the rabbis of Beirav. The Yasi v'Kamri, who were sitting in the base entrance, they were saying, Afil l'man damer truma b'zman hazeh d'Rabbanon, chala d'Oraisa. Quite interesting. Even according to the opinion who says that Truma Bisman Hazeh is going to be Dirabanan, Chala will be Doraisa. Rabbi said, now remember again, both Truma and Chala are Matnos Kahuna, right? They're both different tithes that you give to the Kohanim. So nevertheless, even according to the opinion, it says that Truma Bisman Hazeh is Dirabanan, Chala will be Doraisa. Why? Shahare, why would we say that? Shahare, Sheva Shekivshu V'Sheva Shechilku, Nischaivu B'Chala V'lo Nischaivu B'Meiser. It was actually quite interesting. Remember again, there are 14 years total of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael under Yoshua. The way those 14 years are divided up is 7 years were active conflict, 7 years were war, what we call kibush, and 7 years were chiluk, the division of the land. See, interestingly enough, during the 7 years of conflict and the 7 years of division, nischaibu b'chala, there was an obligation for chala, but there was not an obligation for Meiser. Quite interesting. Look here, Asher, just a moment. Nischaivu b'chala, d'chsiv b'chala, b'vo'achem ala aretz. So both say, the lashon of the obligation for chala is b'vo'achem, when you come into the land. The moment you come into the land, that's when you're obligated. Versus Meiser, what does Meiser say? V'lad nischaivu b'meiser, t'v'meiser k'siv, t'v'as zarecha, You only bring Meiser from what? Tvua Sarecha, from your grain. Your grain is a function of grain that is growing on your land. Your land means you own it. That really only comes about when? After Eretz Yisrael was properly divided amongst the Shvatim. So amazingly enough, the obligation of Challah set in immediately upon entering into the land, versus Truma, which does not really kick in until after the 14 years of Kibush and Chiluk. So according to that, one can make the logical argument that maybe, even if you owe Truma Bizman Azez Daraisa, maybe Chalas, I'm sorry, even if you owe the Truma Bizman Azez Drabanon, Chalas will be Daraisa. Vaminaluhu. Ana And he said, I responded, even according to the opinion who says that Truma Bizman Azez Daraisa, Chala will still be Dirabanan. Why is that? Disanya. Ibevoachem Yachol Mishenichnesu La Shnei Mushlosh Meraglim. So both say the pasuk by Chala does say when you come into the land. What's the definition of coming into the land? So maybe it means as soon as the first 2-3 spies enter into the land. So suddenly again, suddenly, that's considered entry. Talmud Lomar Bevoachem Bevias Kulchem Amarti V'lo Bevias Miktzaschem. The Rebbe will say, ultimately, again, what type of entry triggers the obligation for challah? Only an entry, ultimately, again, of the entire klal, not an entry of part of the klal. The chiaskinu Ezra, the Rebbe will say, is very important. When is Kiddushas Eretz Yisrael triggered? For challah purposes, only when the overwhelming majority of klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael. But the chiaskinu Ezra, lo kul hu saluk. But so we know this historically, that when Ezra came back from Babel, only a very, very small segment of Am Yisrael came with him, right? There were whole tribes, like Levi wasn't there. There were whole tribes that were missing. So therefore, I will say, because of that, the Gemara is suggesting that Halacha Lamaisa, the obligation of Challah will still be drabanan. That even if you hold that Truma Bizman Azez Doraisa, ultimately, again, Chal will be drabanan. So we'll say, how do we paskin? Because this actually does have ramifications for today, for Chal as well as for Truma. So the Rambam, so we'll say, quote to you two halachas. One is from the Shulchan Aruch, one is from the Rambam. So the Rambam in Hilchos Trumos, Perak Aleph Halacha Chaf Vav, says as follows. Hachuma bizman hazeh, v'afil b'makum shech ziku ole bavel, v'afil b'mei Ezra, eina min hatora ela midivrehem. She'in l'chachuma shal Torah shal Arisa bilvad, ubizman shekol Yisrael sham. So we'll say, so Rambam paskins that halacha l'maisa, trumas and maisas bizman hazeh are not daraisa. They're only dirabanan. Why? Because ultimately, again, number one, you need Eretz Yisrael, okay? It's only in Eretz Yisrael. But it's only when all of Am Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael. Shene emar ki savou bias kulchem. Ki shahayu biyerusha rishona, ukimoshi nasidin lachzer biyerusha shlishis. Lo kishayu birusha shnia shaisi me Ezra shaisabia mitzasan ulefichach lo chayva osam min haTorah v'chein yira liyaden b'maestros shein chavim bezman hazeh m'diran k'trumas. So we'll say this is how the Rambam paskins trumas and maestros bezman hazeh. So for example, today in Eretz Yisrael, we still separate out trumas and maestros. The Rambam will say that is midrabanan. That is midrabanan, not midaraisa. Why not? Because the Rambam obligates that in order for Truma's wife to be biblical, it has to be Rov Yoshevea Aleha. The majority of Am Yisrael must be in Eretz Yisrael. Like it was when Yoshua came in, and ultimately again, not like Ezra. So the Rambam says, ultimately, again, by Baye Shlishi. Now, again, interestingly enough, you know, these realities could be triggered even before Mashiach comes, right? Again, remember, this is fundamentally dependent on the number of members of Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. But okay, separate discussion. What about by Chala? So the Shulchan Aruch here in Hilchos Chala, Simin Shin Chav Bey Siv Bey Zin En Yardei Eretz Yisrael. Ein Chayavim Mechala Min HaTorah Ela Eretz Yisrael Bilvat. So first of all, number one, it will say the biblical obligation of challah is only in Eretz Yisrael. Shne'emar v'haya ba'achalchem milechem ha'aretz u'bizman shekol Yisrael sham. And I will say again, the obligation for challah is only when the majority of Am Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael. Shne'emar b'vo'achem. I will say, interestingly enough, the Rambam quoting the same pasuk ultimately again for challah as well as for truma. Leficha challah bizman hazeh afilu bimei Ezra b'Eretz Yisrael eino ela midivrehem. So we'll say, therefore, halacha l'maisa, Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, trumas and maisos as well as challah are both Dirabanan contemporarily, presently. Good. I will say, so now we get into an interesting sugya regarding the actual physical signs of maturation. As we were speaking about, again, Shtei Saras up until this point, the Gemara is going to go into a much more detailed discussion regarding physical signs of maturation. So, Mashal Mashlu Chachamim Bi'isha. So we'll say, so Chazal gave a mashal, a metaphor, for the maturation of a woman. Girl to a woman. Paga, bochal, tsemel. So we'll say these are actually the names of stages of maturations of fruits, specifically of like a fig, right? The paga means a bud, like budding, like the flower. Bochal, again, we'll see that what all of this means. Bochal means literally a small fig. Tsemel means completed. So again, we'll see exactly what this means in just a moment. So the Gemara says, paga, when a girl is in the state of paga, oda tinokes. She's still considered to be, not tinokes literally means a baby, but over here it means a child. Still considered to be a child. So the Gemara says, fine, we don't have to do Rashi now. Fine, paga, oda tinokes, bochel. We'll say, what's bochel? The state of being a small fig. Elo yemei ne'ura. These are the days when she is a nara. So let's remember again, for a girl, you see, we were engaged in our discussion regarding minors and adults. So we were doing it 13 years old in one day versus 12 years old in one day. By a girl, remember, it's a little bit different. Up until 12, she's a ketana. From 12 until 12 and 6 months, she's a nara. From 12 and 6 months and on, she's a bogeres. So that's this. So the Mishnah is making this distinction over here. Bochel. Elu yemei ne'uraha. So when she's a bochel, literally small fig, those are the days of naros, 12 to 12 and a half. Bezu'u bezu amru, in both of these stages, what we call the paga stage and the bochel stage, katnos as well as naros, what do we say? Avia zakai b'metziyasa, her father acquires anything she finds, u'bamai seyadeha, and her earnings. So she's considered to be a ketana, really legabe her earnings and whatever she finds, they become her father's. Ubafaras nedareha. And ultimately, again, also regarding annulment of her vows. So if she finds something that belongs to her father. She earns money, goes to her father. Annulment of vows, right of the father. Tsemel. People say, what's the state of tsemel? Now Rashi says over here, tsemel, begumar mefarishla, lasho no trikun. Yatsasa Malaya. So I'll say, interestingly enough, Semel is a contraction. Yatsasa Malaya. She has gone out complete, which means full physical maturation. What's Semel? Kevan Shebagra Shuv Ein Lavi Arushasbo. So we'll say the status of Semel, right, which is also known as Bagros, 12 years old and 6 months and on, her father no longer has any legal rights in her. She's a full fledged adult. Ezehu Simanim. So I'll say, ultimately, again, what is considered to be simonim by the maturation of a girl? Rabbi Yossi Glili Omer, Mishiyah lehakamat tachas hadad. So Rabbi Yossi says, it's the maturation of when she begins to, when the maturation of her breasts, and when there is a fold underneath. So in other words, when they begin to protrude from her body. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Mishayatu Hadodim. Rabbi Akiva says, we'll say again, we're going to see the distinctions between these shitos. Mishiato literally means hang out or hang down, right? Ben Azai Omer, so we'll say these again, just different states of maturation. Ben Azai Omer, Mishiyashchir Hapitomas. So ultimately, again, Ben Azai says, when the tip ultimately again becomes darker. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kedeshe no senyado ala ukats, v'hu shalkea v'shoe lachzor. So Rabbi Yossi says, ultimately again, when she presses in on the ukats, the ukats, we'll say, is the tip. When she presses in on the tip, on the nipple, and it goes in, and it takes time to come back out. So we'll say, again, different forms. Now, what's interesting we're going to see is, up until now, we've been fully focused on the concept of Shtei Saras. And remember, again, interestingly enough, whenever you see other areas of halacha, it's always Shtei Saras as well. So what I want to point out, remember, the issue with Shtei Saras, I will say, is that sometimes halacha lemaisa, those Saras may not be there. Remember, again, we already got into the discussion about whether or not you have to be choshesh, they were there, they fell out. So therefore, again, the Mishnah is also giving other forms or other signs of physical maturation as well. So paga, Oda Tinokes, so we'll say, so the Gemara goes through these different stages. Paga, right, which again is a state of being what we call a bud. Oda Tinokes, she's considered to be a Tinokes. Kedechsev, Hateina Chanta Pagea. Bochel, Elo Yemein Arm. So we'll say they're just bringing down different psukim that support this. Bochel, that's when she's a Nara. Literally, bochel is when it's a small fig. So the Gemara says, Eli yimei ha-na'urim, kidisnan ha-ta'inim mishayavchilu. Va'am rav ha-rachana amar rav, mishayal bin rashayhem. That ultimately, again, when do the te'inim reach the level of bochin? Ultimately, again, mishayavchilu. When they begin to mature, rav ha-rachana says, when they begin to whiten, the tops begin to whiten. He's talking about figs. V'ibay seima, mehacha. Others say, I will say from here, v'atik tzar nafshi b'hem megam nafsham b'chala. B. Semel, kimandomer yata samalea. So we'll say, what's semel? Semel is a contraction, right? And contraction means yatsasa melea. She went out complete. So semel is the stage, ultimately, again, of bagrus from the age of 12 years old and 6 months and on. Ve'ezo hi simanel. So we'll say, so remember again, what are the simanim? What are the simanim for the maturation of a girl? Rabbi Yosef Lili Omer Mishiyala Kamat, when a fold develops underneath her breast. So the Gemara says, Amr Shmuel, Lo Mishiyala Kamat Mamish. It doesn't literally mean that there has to be a fold underneath. Rather, Ela Kadesha Tachsu Yadel Acharha, Veniris Kimishiyala Hakamat Tachas Hadat. So what's interesting, what he says is, it has to be a level of maturation where if she were to put her arms behind her back, they would protrude from her body. They'd be recognizable and noticeable. Shmuel, this is actually quite fascinating. Shmuel badak ba'amsei v'yohev lo dalid zuzi. So we'll say Shmuel would check this level of physical maturation by his non-Jewish maidservants, and he would then pay them for the humiliation that he caused them. So we'll say, so just to understand, you think to yourself, like, why do you have to know this? So we'll say, so just understand, this has dramatic ramifications ultimately, again, by kiddushim, right? What happens if a father was a Mekadesh, a woman, and we're not, or Mekadesh, I'm sorry, let me say that differently. Let's say a father married off his daughter. I'm giving you just one of these examples of this. And we're not sure, see, I will say, let me take a step back. We sometimes take it for granted that people automatically know their birthdays and how old they are. Right? So you don't have to go back so long. Go back a few generations, and you already see that there's incredible date ambiguity regarding people's actual birthdays. Signs of physical maturation were very important to create biological and physiological realities. So you could have a variety of different cases. We're figuring out if a girl is a kitano, is a naro, is a bogeres, could have dramatic ramifications. So to us, it sounds strange that we're getting so incredibly like into the nitty-gritty details of female maturation over here. But I'm just pointing out that there are many, many, many halachas nafkamina, father's ability to sell his daughter, father's ability to mekadesh his daughter. If a man was mekadesh a woman, he's not sure she a ketana, she not a ketana. Kiddushei d'rabbanan, kiddushei d'oraisa, require a get, mion, so many different ramifications here. So although it sounds strange for us, some of these details, they are exceptional. So Shmuel, in order to understand the details of physical maturation, would go ahead and look at his female maidservants, but he would pay them damages for humiliation. So Shmuel Atame, Damar Shmuel, the Olam Bahem Ta'avodu. Bosse, this is quite incredible. Now remember, when it comes to Avodim Kinanim, Bosse, Avodim Kinanim are property. Avodim are property. The Olam Bahem Ta'avodu means that, again, there is actually an Issa D'Oraisa. It was actually quite fascinating. An Issa D'Oraisa against freeing your Eved Kinani. You're not supposed to free your Eved Kinani. You're supposed to keep your Eved Kinani. They're both saying, now understand, whenever we speak about slavery, obviously because of our historical, I mean our like America's historical connection to slavery, we always think about slavery as oppressive bondage. So understandable, say that's not the model of an Eved Kinani. There's a whole body of halacha that governs how you have to treat your Eved. There's a whole body of halacha that tells you that you can't abuse your Eved. But there is a concept that your Eved is property, your Eved is chattel, and you are not supposed to free your Eved. They say for Achinuch Christ, why shouldn't you free your Eved? Because we don't want Jews having to take other Jews as avadim. We would rather ultimately, again, if Jews need avadim, use the kinanim as avadim. We'd rather not have one Jew having another Jew as an avad. That's the Sefer HaChinuch. So Moses says, listen to this. So the olam b'tavodu, la'avodin esatim v'lo lebusha. Ultimately, again, they're given over for avoda, but not for busha. So we'll say, so this is actually, it's not our topic for today, but it's a fascinating discussion as to whether or not there is an obligation of busha by avadim kinana. Well, so in other words, halacha lemaisa, when you go ahead and you damage someone, so we'll say, so some of, it's part of the damages that you have to go ahead and pay is what's called busha, right? If you embarrass someone, there's payment for that as well. So it's an interesting discussion as to whether or not avadim have a din of busha or not. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Shmuel paid his amma for busha, lav dafka, that she was entitled to that payment, but halacha lemaisa, he paid her nevertheless. So the Gemara is just going on a little bit of a tangent over here. Shmuel miyached lahen. Shmuel would go ahead, and Rashi says, miyached lahu, shivchosav miyached la'anoshim avada ve'in mafkir mishum boshes. Shmuel, Bosei, would arrange shiduchim amongst his avadim, in order that the concern by shivchas is that ultimately, again, there would be immorality that was going on within the ranks of the servants. In order to avoid that, Shmuel would make shiduchim between his avadim and his shvachos. You're with you, you're with you, you're with you, you're with you, in order to avoid any mistreatment of the shvachos by any of the avadim. Rav Nachman, machlif lahen. Rav Nachman, on the other hand, would ultimately, again, would not be worried if he let the avadim and the shvachos do anything they wanted, right? He was not really concerned, ultimately, again, with pairing them off as partners. Rav Sheshes, Masra Lahen La'aravi. Rav Sheshes would ultimately give his shvachos even over to Arabs. La'aravi, mafkir shivchos of la'aravim v'noigba minag hefker. Ultimately, again, he would even go ahead and give over his maidservants to Arabs. But in general, again, the Arabs were known to be exceptionally immoral people. So he would even give over the shvachos over to the Arabs. V'amr Lahen is daru Yisrael, but he warned the shvachos is make sure that you don't come near the Jewish men. You could do whatever you want with the Arabs, but don't come near the Jewish men. So we'll say total tangent, just really based on the idea that Shmuel would examine the signs of female maturation on his shvachos. Rabbi Yossi says, so we'll say again, remember, Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah ultimately said, the next part of the Mishnah was the Ukats. Rabbi Yossi Omer Kadesh, no sin yado ala Ukats, vahu shokia vishoy laksis. So we'll say ultimately again, Rabbi Yossi said that the sign of physical maturation ultimately again was to push in the tip, and if it would take time to come back out, ultimately again, this is a sign of maturation. My Ukats, what's the Ukats? Amr Shmuel Ukatso Sheldad. It's the tip of the breast, the nipple. Tan Rabbanon. Elohim simoni bagros. So we'll say the Braisa says these are the simonim of bagros. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Mishis kashkeshu hadodin. So we'll say Mishis kashkeshu literally means, again, when the girl's chest is developed enough that the dodim can touch each other. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka Omer, Mishiyachsif rosh hachotem. Ultimately, again, when the tip darkens, Rosh Hachotem, sorry, Mishiyachshiv, Azkinalei. So I'll say when it darkens, then she's old. Or it doesn't mean old. What it means is that Lamais, again, that's even a sign of more advanced maturation, right? We're trying just to speak about, again, the signs of initial maturation. Ela Amrabashi, Mishiyaftzil Rosh Hachotem. Rather, Rabashi says it's when the tip, when the nipple becomes perforated. In other words, they both say when the opening, which will literally later on be the milk duct, when ultimately, again, that becomes visible, then halacha lemaisa, that's the beginning of maturation. Rabbi Yossi says, Mishetashkif ha'atara. Rabbi Shimon Omer, so we'll say these are all just different. Rashi says, Mishetashkif ha'atara, Shagadol ha'okitz va'av umukov atara. Ultimately, again, when the tip becomes encircled by another ring. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mishin Esma'i ha'kaf. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. Here we're transitioning a little bit. Nismai ha'kaf, if you look at Amud Beis, Rashi says, ha'kaf milamata hu al beis harechem kimin tapuach givoa. So we'll say, so this is talking about kind of the area beneath the stomach, above the makom erva. So the Gemara is understanding over here that when a girl is younger, that area is rounded. As she gets older, it flattens out. So when it begins to flatten, Ultimately, again, that is a sign of physical maturation. L'cheyar b'shimen yochai omer, shlosha siman amasu chacham b'isha milamata, u'kinegdan milamala. So we'll say, ultimately, again, Rabbi Shimon Yochai said, there are three simanim, three signs of physical maturation, avo milamata. Milamata means milamakom erva, and there are three corresponding signs on the top of her body, paga milamala, biyaduah shalai v'yeshtei sara. So we'll say, if her chest has not developed, then ultimately, again, that's indicative that lemaisa she has not brought two hairs of physical maturation. Bocham milamala, if ultimately, again, her chest begins to develop, biyadua she'evia shtei saros, that is indicative that she has brought two hairs. Semel milamala, if ultimately, again, her chest is fully developed, biyadua she'nismai chakaf, then I both say that means that bottom part, again, I don't know what the technical term for that is. It's not the stomach, it's the area below the stomach, ultimately, again, becomes flattened. That's also the sign of physical maturation. My calf. So we'll say, what is this calf? Amravuna, makom tafuach yesh lamalame osa makom. There is a rounded area above the makom erva. Kevan shemigadales misma'ech baholich. As she gets older, it becomes flattened. Sha'alu es Rebbe. Halacha kidiv Remi. So they asked Rebbe, we have all these different signs of physical maturation. Right? Who does the halacha follow? Shaloch luhu kidiv re kula nahachmir. We follow everyone's opinion, luchumra. Luchumra. So we'll say, so remember again, luchumra has different ramifications in different cases, but such Rebbe says we follow all of the different opinions, luchumra. Rav Papa, Rav Chinana, Breidrav, Ibreidrav Ika, Chad Masniyaha. So we'll say, one person said that Rebbe's statement, Kedivrei Kulan Lahachmir, was going on this discussion. And V'chad Masni Achotzer. Another said, no. Rebbe's statement that we follow everyone's opinion, L'chumra, was actually going on a totally different topic. What was the topic? Disnan. Ezu Ichotzer Tzuris. Actually, take out Tzuris. Ezu Chotzer Shechayeves Meiser. So we'll say, the halacha is, produce becomes Chayeves in Meiser when the production of the produce is finished and it is brought inside the home. Now, lav dafka has to be brought inside the home, but it has to be brought inside what's called a chatzar hamishtameres, a guarded chatzar. So what's the definition, ultimately, again, of the type of chatzar that is considered to be guarded legabe meiser purposes? Reb Shimon omer chatzar atzuris. Reb Shimon says, like a chatzar atzuris, shakela mishmar besocha. It's, I guess there was a type of chatzar, like a chatzar, they called it a chatzar tzuris, that was guarded and people would leave their utensils in it. My chatzar tzuris, on Rav Chanan Liochanan, shekin b'tzur, moshiv and shomer al pesach ha-chatzar. In tzur, they would place a guard at the entrance of the chatzar. Such a guarded chatzar was considered to be mishtameres, and therefore, again, if you brought, once you brought truma, once you brought produce in there, it would become chayiv in truma. Rabbi Kiva says, kol she'echad poseach ve'echad no'a p'tura. Any chatzar bosai, where essentially anyone could come in and out. One goes in, one goes out, one opens it, one closes it. That's called pater. Why? Because that's not called mishtameres. That's not called guarded. Because it's not called guarded, therefore it does not trigger the meister obligation. The Gemara says, Rabbi Nechemi Omer Koshein Adam Bosh Lecho Besocho Chayaves. Any chatzar that is so well guarded, so bosai, the halacha presupposes that people don't like to eat in public. Right, so therefore, again, people eat in a place that's a little bit more secluded. So any chatzar that is secluded enough that a person would feel comfortable eating in it, ultimately, again, that's called the chatzar that's mishtameres for meiser purposes. And if you were to bring in produce there, it would trigger the meiser obligation. Yossi and Yossi says, kol shenichnasin la va'in omrim la ma'atam mevakesh p'tura. Any chatzar, I will say, people could just walk in and no one says to them, what are you doing here, right? Ultimately, again, it's considered to be an unguarded chatzar, and therefore does not trigger the meister obligation when produce is brought in. Rabbi Huda says, shtei chaseros zu lifnei mizu. If you have two chaseros, one inside of the other, hapnimis chayemes v'achitzona p'tura. The inner one, which is considered to be mishtameres, triggers the meister obligation on the produce, but the outer one is pater. Shalu es Rebbe, halacha kediv Remi. So we'll say, they asked Rebbe, who does the halacha follow in these cases of chatzar? Amar lohu, halacha kediv rekulon ha'achmir. So we'll say, so again, different version. Rebbe says, the halacha follows everyone l'chumra. So we'll say, see, here was what we know. We know Rebbe says, the halacha follows everyone l'chumra. Apparently, a machlokes as to what context Rebbe made that statement. First opinion saying that he was talking about, he said the statement in the realm of the signs of physical maturation. Second opinion said that he said it legabe the chatzar hamishtameres by truma. Good. Mishnah. Bas esim shan shalavi yesh tei saras. We'll see another interesting case. What happens if a girl is 20 years old and she has not yet exhibited signs of physical maturation? She has not sprouted hairs. So what's the halacha? Tavi raya she bas esim. She has to bring a raya that she's 20 years old. Vihi eilinis. So we'll say, we're going to actually see in the Gemara how to read this statement in the Mishnah. But the Mishnah is introducing us to a new concept that if a girl fails to mature physically, at a certain age, we declare her an eilinis. Eilinis means that halacha l'maaseh, she is a female, but she is incapable of physical maturation, and therefore is incapable of having children as well. Therefore, as a result, lo choletzes v'lo misyabemes. Such a woman, again, will be exempt from the obligations, ultimately, again, from chalitza and from yibum. She's not subject to yibum. Why about say? Because only a woman who's capable of childbirth, potential childbirth, is subject to yibum. So the Gemara says similarly, ben esim shana v'lo hevi shtei saras. What happens again if a man reaches the age of 20 and same thing, has just failed to produce any signs of physical maturation? So number one, yavi raya shu ben esim. So first of all, he has to bring a raya that he's 20. V'hu saras. We'll say such a person is called the sris. It's called the sris. Again, we're going to see exactly how to read the Mishnah. Lo choleitz v'lo miyabim ila d'rabbi saras. We'll say again, so to a sris is not subject to halachos of yibum. Why? But we'll say the whole essence of yibum is what? Right? Lahakim shmo b'Yisrael. Right? Lahakim shmo b'Yisrael. To give children to the deceased brother. So therefore, again, if a woman is an eilinis, a man is a sris, there's an obligation of yibum. So we'll say this is Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel is of the opinion that 20 years old is the determining age for men and women. Beis Shammai says, Zev zesh shmona asa. Beis Shammai says, no, the determining age actually is 18. Rabbi Eliezer Omer HaZachar Divrei Beis Hillel Ben Akiva Divrei Beis Shammai. Rabbi Eliezer says we mix and match the Zachars like Beis Hillel, namely again for a boy, for a man, right? The determining age of eiliness is going to be 20. For a girl like Beis Shammai, 18. Sha'isha Maharas level of age, because women mature faster or earlier than men. So for a man, we give him until the age of 20. For a woman, until the age of 18. That's what I'll say. That is Rabbi Eliezer. Or Minhi. So the Gemara says, we raise a kasha. Echad li ben teisha shana v'yom echad. Ve'echad li ben esrim shelo hevi shtei saras. So we'll say, now the Mishnah says as follows. The Gemara says as follows. Raise a kasha. Whether a boy is 9 years old in one day, up until 20 years old, who has not brought any signs of physical maturation. Now, I look at Ashi for just a moment. Or Minhi, Echad li ben teisha shanim, shneihem din echad lahem, ubi aso ki ma'amar begadlo ki damrina lael, ama katanhu, ubayam tuni. So we'll say, we're going to see the details of this case in just a moment, but the point that's happening over here is that we are linking, ultimately, again, a 20-year-old who has not gone ahead and exhibited signs of physical maturation with what? With a 9-year-old, which tells me that even at 20, the man still has the status of a katan. Or is we're not going to declare him as a sris, he just has the status of a katan, to which the Amar Amarav, Amarav Shobarav Yitzchak Amarav, you're right. So we'll say a man does not become categorized as a sris just by failure to go ahead and physically mature. There are other signs of srisus as well. If you look at Rashi over here, Rashi says, Amar Rav Shmuel, Maslisin Kigon Shenoldu Bo Simani Sris. So we'll say the Gemara elsewhere discusses a whole variety of different simanim that are associated with this risk. For example, koshein besara motzi heva kishurochets saro lakui ubesara machlik. We'll say, for example, signs: his hair is very soft, his skin is very soft, almost more like a baby. Interesting enough, one of them is that his flesh does not exude vapors after using the bathhouse. These, I guess, were signs of a failure to mature. A person is almost more infant-like, more childlike in their appearance as well as in some of their other features. Those are the simani of srisos. So in Enochinami, it's actually quite interesting, the failure to bring shtei sa'aros by itself does not make you a sris. But the failure to physically mature, right, bring shtei sa'aros in conjunction with other simanim, that will make you a sris. Amarava Dikanami Diktani Vahusris. Shema Amina. So Rava says, again, that's the meaning of Mishnah, but Husris. Husris Shabosai is not the statement of a designation. It's a statement of including other simanim. That when a man fails to mature physically, he doesn't bring Shtei Saras, and he has other simanim of Srisos, then Anachinami, he's a Sris. Shema Amina. So let's ask this question. So let's say you have a man who has not exhibited other simani srisos, right? His hair is not exceptionally soft. His flesh is not exceptionally soft. So essentially, how long could a man be looked at as a katan? So you must say, what we're learning over here is something very interesting, which is you can have a man who looks like a man in other ways, and doesn't look like a sris, but he's failed to produce signs of physical maturation. So therefore, what we're learning over here is that he still has the din of a katan. How old can you be a katan until? That sounds like a strange question, right? How old can you be a katan until? Tenebichia arov shnosav, until the majority of your days have passed. We'll see, one here says something amazing. What's the majority of your days? Post 35. Right, so again, we assume that a lifespan is 70 years old. So Rabbi says, so ultimately, again, you could be a katan until 35. Rabbi says, we all know plenty of people who are katanim way past 35. Right? Rabbi says, but lemaisa, again, lemaisa, from a halachic perspective, so ultimately, again, a person cannot be a sris. In other words, remember, srisos requires a whole variety of different simanim. But interestingly enough, a person can have the halachic status of a katan regarding certain things, even up to the age of 35. We'll have to stop over here. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with this discussion of Sisus, Emirat Hashem tomorrow.